And that was How Am I Going to Find You Now by James McMurdy. So the next day after the union meeting, there was, of course, at the Red Church, Calvary Episcopal Church, the usual 6 o'clock meal. And at the end of the month, it's jam-packed, as I mentioned before. There's also other events happening around that time. 5 o'clock, I believe, maybe a little later, is the Penny University, which is in the room right next to the Red Church's meal room. And it's also available. Usually it has Paul Lee and a guest talking to a group of mixed people, usually older folks, you know, over 50 or thereabouts, although I guess it varies. And then after they leave, there's a second group of kind of a homeless, a listening kind of service. I'm not quite sure how it would be described. Linda LeMaster, Serge Cagno, and Rafa Sonnenfeld invite, they say they're inviting homeless people, but usually they end up with people, house people like me and others who kind of try to get the latest from their catch stuff, because they're part of this fig leaf group that the city council has set up to pretend to engage in homeless activity or homeless investigation. I mean, they sincerely think they're doing that, but in fact, they're just doing what other groups have done repeatedly in the last two or three decades. Instead of pressing the city council to actually take real action on the immediate life and health crisis for people outside, which they're ignoring throughout the winter. But they're doing a lot of chattering away and talking about creating new laws to restrict homeless people and empower the police, which no doubt pleases some folks indoors, but has very little to do with homeless survival. In fact, you might call it antithetical to or opposed to homeless survival. Anyway, here's real homeless people talking about their experiences in line as I meander myself, in front of them and maneuver here and there to get their stories.
Red Church, it's the 27th of January, around 6. I'm talking with
Antonio Mendoza.
And Antonio, you're off to court in Watsonville tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm talking about false arrest, false detainments, false accusers, chicken shit charges.
What are they trying to accuse you of?
They're trying to accuse me of violating, of trespassing, littering, loitering at City Hall and at Loudon Nelson when I was just using public shelter.
And what's the nature of this hearing? Is it a trial? Is it?
They try to take me to the cleaners and to jury trial, so they dismiss it in the interest of justice over chicken shit, like Judge Siegel said, chicken shit charges. False arrest, false.
Is this going to be a jury trial?
No, this is just civil court, so I can go back. So they'll lift the stay away orders from which have been lifted in the Department 3-2 over here in Superior Court. They've been dismissed. But now the civil, I have to dismiss some kind of program fit team, which I don't qualify for people that have alcohol and drug problems and all this, and I don't have that problem, which is totally unconstitutional, and stay away orders from City Hall and Loudon Nelson for false charges, false arrests. I could sue.
Will you be representing yourself, or will an attorney be there?
Well, this thing is, if I don't go, they will not lift the stay away orders, which means I get a stay away order for life.
You got to go, you say.
I have to go because I already won in Superior Court. Now I have all the things in paper, all the false arrests, all the false charges, all the false accusations.
What time will you be showing up tomorrow?
8:30 tomorrow. Hey, I can't see $2 to go there and back. I don't have $2 to go there and back for the bus.
Are you panhandling in a public place?
No, I'm borrowing.
Oh, okay.
My name is Mendoza Antonio. If City Hall bathrooms are not open, I'm going to piss in the mayor's door.
You're here.
Yeah. Bring the camera.
All right. Any reports?
No.
Talking with someone who might not be terribly interested in speaking at length, but you're worried about the future of people in vans?
Yeah. But I have a disabled plate on my, because I have a disability. I'm bone to bone on my left knee, and I have back problems, so I do have disabled plates. And
I'm wondering. Have they treated you better because of the disabled plate?
Well, I get the free, meters. I do get the free meters, but I'm wondering at night what's going to happen if they have new rules in Santa Cruz. I hear about the downtown that they're going to make it like a park.
That's
thing where,
Chief Mills, what he's been saying.
Yeah. I was just hearing about it today. Yeah. So I'm just wondering what's going to happen.
Happening on Wednesday, I guess Keith is doing a thing at the Resource Center at 4:30 on Wednesday to talk about that.
Yeah, I'm thinking of going Tuesday and Wednesday to both of them just to see what's going on.
Yeah, you're also welcome to come to the Huff meeting, too, if you want.
When's that?
That's at noon on Wednesday.
Noon at Wednesday.
At the Sub Rosa.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I might go and I might not because I might go to the senior lunch at noon.
Yeah, go eat lunch too. Right? We've been talking with, if you want to say.
Nancy Eaton.
Okay. The group is called Take Back Santa Cruz. They are mean, evil yuppies.
And what have they done to you recently, if anything?
You're trying to tell people where to go. They don't like the red shirt. They don't like the food non-bombs people.
And how is this? You've experienced this, let's say, in the last week?
What have you experienced? They get all mean on me. Tell me I can't be across the street over to Nickelodeon. It's only for, yuppies. You know, that kind of thing.
And we've been talking with?
Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff. From your neck of the woods.
Continue getting those foot traffic tickets every morning. Send it to Santa Cruz PD.
And
this is Russell and Cooper Safe Camp.
Right, and how many people are getting tickets?
About done. I'm over it.
Okay. Anything else happening you want to say?
No, that's it. I'm tired of them.
I hear you.
Okay, done. They burnt me. That's too much.
So. I got you. Any reports? What about you, artist man?
Yeah. I'm putting my art on the internet, and I've got a couple other things I'm starting to do on the internet, and I'm hoping to make some money off of it.
How is your nighttime sleeping situation?
Okay, I sleep in my vehicle.
No hassles?
No hassles. I sleep on private property, so they can't come hassle me. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of other people have problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. No tickets in the last few months?
I got a couple parking tickets, but other than that, no.
Sounds good.
It's been pretty good.
And we've been talking with?
Randolph Aiden Tolley III. Everybody knows me as Dread Eye.
Thank you, Randolph, a.k.a. Dread Eye.
A.k.a. Dread Eye. Everyone knows who's that.
Nope. Street reports?
Well, the weather's getting me pretty much, but that's my own fault. I go without a tent, so but I don't know why, but I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, if somebody wanted to come forward and throw some sleeping bags out, it'd be really nice. There's some people.
If I hear of anything and I remember, I'll tell you.
Please do. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, other than being, like, seriously impacted by organized crime, I don't got nothing to say.
What kind of impact has it had on you?
Trying to stay alive, basically. I mean, the heroin gangs here inside the city government, when you start seeing the Hearst heroin gang showing up, and they're always well-dressed, you know, they've been stalking me for years.
How are you? How are the local police treating you? Mum's the word.
They haven't bothered me.
That sounds good. We've been talking with, if you want to say. Okay, thank you.
No, I've been doing a lot of hiking lately. I went about three-hour hike the other day. Along the Poconos, I've noticed, I think there's a lot of mercury right on the ground level in the water. The ground's saturated. And I'm pretty sure it's mercury, blue. And I haven't heard anything about it, only but I see, because I do a lot of hiking. Especially if it's rain, you see it.
How's life in the vehicle?
Well, I haven't gotten it yet.
Okay, I know you were looking to get one.
I am looking at it desperately.
And how's life along the fence? Are you still there?
Where?
Along the side of
the post office?
Yeah.
Tonight, probably. I move around. The anarchists in me never stay. Never use the same path twice.
Indeed. Any hassles at the post office or not?
No, I haven't been there for about a week.
And have you found other good spots? Or?
I found a really good one. The other night, hike I was talking about, but it's way uphill, wet grass, and I don't have any shoes at the moment.
Take it.
So, but it was nice. It was a perfect little, like it was a pine tree, and then these tall reeds in a circle, just about the size for a little camp. It was really nice. You got your privacy, your little entrance, and it's all natural. You don't really need a tent or anything.
Recovering from your injuries?
Which one?
The assault.
Oh, that, yeah. Fortunately, yeah, I can now chew candy and stuff without pain. But now I got feet pain.
And we've been talking with?
Steve.
Anything else, Steve?
I think I'm going to do a little research project and looking to see if that is actually mercury. There's a lot of it on the ground out in the wood forest.
Come to my team or what?
All right, well, keep us advised.
All right.
Thank you.
But be careful drinking. Maybe it's a bottle water.
Dig it.
Yeah. My name's Michael McCoy, and I would like to put a shout out to Susie O'Hara. And you know who she is?
I do indeed. Yeah.
All right. Well,
she's
cool. You
want to shoot Susie O'Hara?
No. I want to give her props.
I see. What has she done?
Coming down. Well, what do you mean, man?
Can you tell me? I want to know.
I want to know if she is actually coming down, you know, for the people.
She's not as far as I know.
Well, I don't know.
But if you got new info, I want to hear it.
No. I can't say that.
Secret info, perhaps?
Secret info, but all I can say is, there's a new camp coming up.
That sounds good.
And it's not going to be over there in Live Oak. Yeah, yeah. No, there's going to be, I heard a little rumor, it's going to be one of our little, parks that's out of rec, but it's going to be in rec. So
where'd you hear this?
I can't say.
Secret information.
Well, no. There's no secret information, but they're trying to get it out. You remember that the River Street camp 2 years ago?
And this year, too.
All right. Well, I worked for them, and I got hired by the city and county. But 2 years ago, and now the Salvation Army has nothing to do with it.
I see.
Yeah, yeah. But
are you using the armory this year or not?
No.
Any reports from there?
No. I got a couple of friends over there.
What do they think?
Well, it's federal land now. So
it's Salvation Army, so.
But no. The city took it over.
Oh, how are they doing?
Well, the city's taking it over, but all they are doing is the same thing as last year, March, and it's done.
Right, but you can pitch your tent in there and stay
there. No. You can put your tent in the certain areas that they want, but you can't do it like the year.
But you can do it for 24 hours.
Well,
which is different than the old armor.
No.
Set me straight.
All right. Well, they have rules just like everything else. But what I'm trying to say is...
Do you have to get up at 5 in the morning? Or?
Well, no. You don't.
That's what I was hearing, yeah.
No. Well...
That you don't have to. That things are better.
I don't think it is better.
Uh-huh.
Ah!
But you don't have to get up at 5.
I don't know. I still...
Well, let's leave it there because I want you to be able to eat. We've been talking
all right. How about Michael McCoy?
Of course, Michael. Sorry. Thank you.
And I will talk to you after I eat.
Sounds good.
I actually have some information.
So come on over and grab me.
Okay, I will.
Fault of only having two shelters means more people out here.
Dig it in. Which one, are you using one of them?
Nope.
Oh. How's it going for you?
Oh, it's going good. My spot's cool, you know. But not a lot of people ain't fortunate like that.
You're outside?
Yeah.
And we've been talking with? Your name is?
Dakota.
Thank you, Dakota. Reports? Any street reports?
Everything. All of them.
Really? When did it happen?
When didn't it happen? Dump truck came with the police. Took my stuff away. I was keeping with a friend. So that was half of my things. And then someone else just took two of my bags. And today, we caught someone who was a friend, quote unquote, walking away with a bag of mine that I left in front of my Goodwill while I was shopping.
And we've been talking with?
Aurora.
Thank you, babe.
My name's Kenny Reeves. Uh-huh. I'm not really liking what's going on with all these people here, and I'm part of the people.
Right.
All these people doing drugs on the street, all these people fucking robbing each other, stealing from each other. I've about had it. Somebody stole my dog. I'm the guy with the wheelchair that pushes around his little puppy, his little Shih Tzu puppy, in the wheelchair. the one with the dolphin syndrome. Most of you people know my dog and know me. Downtown, all around, everybody knows Maleficent. She was stolen the day after Christmas. I think I have her, but I could not control myself because it's all I own, all I have. It is my family and my love.
Excuse me.
I'm tired of people stealing from each other. I'm tired of people fucking doing drugs in the open. I'm tired of people giving us homeless people a bad fucking rap. You know what? They got something coming soon. It's all going to change. We're going to change it.
Name of your dog is?
Maleficent.
Okay.
$900 reward for it. On the first, we'll go up to 18. Next month, it'll be 27. If you have my dog, bring my dog back. I promise you, you will not be hurt. There will not be no cops or anything like that.
We've been talking with
Kenny Reeves.
Thank you, Kenny. Any reports? Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Another time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any reports?
Not today.
Street reports?
Maybe something good tomorrow night. Hopefully.
Oh yeah. Well, you never can tell.
Yeah.
Any reports, Travis?
No, not today. How's the what are those called? Bath towels or
the bathrobes. I gave one of them to a guy who needed it. The other one is sitting in my car looking fuzzy.
Yeah, they're pretty fuzzy. I wish I had a place that I could put it so I would ever be able to use one, but I've never actually worn a bathrobe until that night that I took it off and gave it to you.
Well, if you need it, tell me, I'll give it back to you.
Don't worry, I don't have a place to put it. My backpack's pretty full.
I see, you got that with you.
Oh,
we've been talking with
Travis.
Thanks, Travis.
Smoke crack, worship Satan.
Okay, anything else?
Originality over herd mentality.
And finally,
I would do a real interview with this gentleman, but every time I'm willing to, he's not.
Well, I have limited time. You know, I'm running from person to person, but
I know.
Catch
someday.
Me if you want. I'll be here for a little while. So.
Okay.
Any reports from the street?
Not yet.
Okay.
Soon.
All right. Street reports?
No, I don't.
All right.
Maybe Billy Bob does.
I'll ask him.
Sonny D, you got any reports?
Nothing good, man.
Nothing good.
Do you have anything at all, good, bad, or otherwise?
No, it's pretty good out there. Not good at all. No. Fence. But as far as medical goes.
No hassles?
Oh, yeah.
No hassles.
All the time. But.
And today or yesterday? Or?
No, not this week.
That's good?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
We got a trespassing ticket.
Oh, yeah, we did.
What happened?
We're just sitting there talking. We just drove up and they came up on us and said that we were trespassing and we were on railroad property. But I don't see how city officers allowed to give a ticket on a railroad property when they're supposed to be railroad police.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where was this?
It was on the golf course drive.
And you two, were there anybody else there or just
the
two of you?
It was four or five of us.
And did you all get tickets or just?
Yes, we all did. Yes.
Did they warn you before ticketing you?
No, there was no trespassing signs there either.
Sounds like it won't stand up in court.
I didn't see any trespassing signs.
What was your reaction to it? Did you leave afterward? Or?
What? Yeah, I left. Yeah, immediately. Yeah, yeah. We didn't think we were trespassing. We just came down riding down the trail and stopped, and we saw some friends, and they ride up on us and give us tickets and said we're trespassing.
You outside yourself? You sleep outside yourself?
Yeah, we all camp out.
How is it?
It's okay.
Any tickets for sleeping?
No, not yet, but we expect them.
How long you been doing it?
On and off, 30 years.
Well, good luck.
All right, thank you.
We've been talking with...
Thank you.
All right, good, man.
No problem. You take care.
I'm anonymous.
All right, anonymous.
And more from the Red Church on Sunday when we come back at 9:30. Or you can check us out. I think that's actually when you should catch the rest of this. I don't know if I'm going to post that independently, but here's a little music for you.
England, 1936, the grip of a Sabbath day. In London town, the only sound is a whisper in an alleyway. Smoke before they go. From the west there is a warning of a wind about to blow. Like seas are marching to
The song is hard to hear, but the lyrics go like this. England 1936, the grip of the Sabbath day in London town, the only sound is a whisper in an alleyway. Men put on their gloves and boots, have a smoke before they go. From the west there is a warning of a wind about to blow. Like Caesar marching to the east, marches Mosley with his men. Mosley was a British fascist in the 30s. Dressed in their clothes of deepest black, like a gathering hurricane. This is the British Union with its flag of black and red, a flag that casts a shadow in Berlin and in Madrid. Of course, at that time, the Nazis were in power in Germany, and there was a fascist uprising in Spain. To the sound of marching feet and the voices of the ghosts of Cable Street, fists and stones and batons and the gun with courage, we shall beat those black shirts down. So mile by mile they come on down in a place called Cable Street, and other men are waiting there, preparations are complete. Mosley comes so close they now can see his outstretched arm, a hand raised up that way, never look at the future in its palm, or never took the future in its palm. Listen to the sound of marching feet and the voices of the ghosts of Cable Street, fists and stones and batons and the gun. With courage we shall beat those black shirts down. The battle broke as the fists and batons fell. Through the barricades came the sound of the wounded yells. Jack Spot burst through with a chair leg made of lead, brought down a crashing blow on Mosley's head. And so we learn from history generations have to fight, and those who crave for mastery must be faced down on sight. And if that means by words, by fists, by stones, or by the gun, remember those who stood up for their daughters and their sons. Listen to the sound of marching feet and the voices of the ghosts of Cable Street, fists and stones and batons and the gun. With courage you shall beat those black shirts down. Listen to the sound of the marching feet and the voices of the ghosts of Cable Street, fists and stones and batons and the gun. With courage we shall beat those black shirts down.
Camping out.
What you call an anti-fa, type song, so anti-fascist song. Again was the Ballad of Cable Street by the Men They Couldn't Hang. Let's proceed forward to the city council meeting of day before yesterday, the gathering outside where Food Not Bombs was feeding poor folks, who were then going to later speak at city council or simply came because they were hungry. And some of them had stuff to tell.
We're at City Hall. It's the 28th of February, about 6, I think, 10 to 6, talking with...
Antonio Mendonca.
Tony, you have some strong feelings about what's going on here at the city council meeting.
Oh, you know, Superior Court, you know, criminal court, they dismissed all the chicken shit charges against...
We were there this morning.
Yeah, and then went to civil court to get the stay-away order on City Hall over this... This man who vandalized, he didn't vandalize, he sabotaged the bathrooms in the fountain over here at the City Hall and threatened me to beat my ass. He probably walked into the bathroom and then turned around and said I threatened him. So now I got to stay away order from him. And they went bias and prejudice against me and leaned towards the city attorney to keep me from coming here and fighting for human rights.
So you're saying you are not allowed to be at City Hall?
All along Nelson, all the library, because this Parks and Recreation employee, his name is Coward Traitor Tom Dunn for a piece of shit, in other words, chicken shit, is scared of me. He thinks I'm a threat to him.
Well, you are, you have quite a beard there, you know, you got to watch out for your beard.
Yeah, I'm wishing I'm here to protect your shepherd's dog, my people.
Have you gotten some food yet? Or?
I got a drink. I had some sardines for lunch and bread and stuff. I got food. I'm going to go.
It's not the most wonderful.
You know, I guess you can only sleep from 10 to 7 and not during the day, I guess is what it's coming to.
That's what he's trying to pass. It hasn't passed yet, and it's not clear what they're even doing because they have their own policies regardless of what the laws
are. Pacific Avenue is belongs to the city, not the public, so you can't be there. From 10
it's
to
the
7.
City manager's private property, sir.
Oh, yeah, well, somebody's.
Yeah.
And the police, what are they, their little tricks?
Well, they're his private, Suschenstrappen, or whatever. I never get that right.
Adolf little Stalin's kids.
Well, it's just his honor guard.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, the fascism got to go. All this peaceful demonstration is not working. I want peace, not war. So I guess they want war.
Well,
I'm 64 years old. I'm not even allowed to have a senior citizen's lunch over there, wheels on wheels, because I guess...
What happened if you go to the Loudoun Nelson Center?
I got to stay away order because he also supposedly works there, supposedly. Tom Dunn.
Okay, will he be supplying you food because he's making you stay away from the senior meal?
I guess he works here, there, and Mount Nelson, and...
He gets around, man.
Yeah, but I never see him anywhere.
I don't even know who he is.
I stayed away from him 3 years, no problems. Yeah. And then they arrested me here, falsely saying I was... They were stalking me, profiling me. Isn't that a... I guess they got away with perjury.
No.
They get away with everything. What are we supposed to do?
I have no answers for you, although...
I can't speak because anything I say is a threat.
Oh, I'm...
Treason and crimes...
I could hold you on a leash so that you wouldn't attack anybody.
I accuse them of treason and crimes against humanity. I mean, come on, that's all I know. That's what they're doing. They're violating everybody's human rights, constitutional rights, civil rights, dogs' rights, cars' rights. What rights aren't they violating?
Martine Bernal's rights?
Absolutely. I got a question. Who's that judge running for judge, superior judge? I've seen a picture.
A woman who's running?
A man.
I've probably seen him, but I don't, at the moment, remember what his name is.
Who's the mayor now?
Oh, the mayor. The mayor is Justin Cummings.
A man or woman?
It's a man.
What about the supervisor of City Hall? Is that a man or a woman?
Woman, Izeth Ray.
She don't want me around her.
She don't want any homeless people around there. It kind of feels like to me.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I was arrested Wednesday falsely. Got a stay away order from Pacific County, but I was on Water Street, and I went to go get my property, and there's no property there. My sleeping bags, my clothes.
When did you go?
I went today to get my property out. There's nothing there in the police department.
And when did they take it from you?
Wednesday, last week.
And who are the officers who confiscated the property?
No, it was a rookie and a ranger.
What are we doing about this?
You want to talk to Keith? He might have some ideas. It's just a matter.
Where do I get a lawyer that represents the federal government? Because they're disobeying all federal laws.
Well, there are many lawyers.
They're above the law.
But they want cases where they can make money, you know.
I know. You got to buy liberty. You can't fight for it.
Damn right.
You got people.
Give me liberty or give me cash.
You know a lawyer I can try? I can trust? Besides you?
I'm not a lawyer.
Oh, I thought you were Moses.
No, I'm Uncle Robert, actually. Some say bathrobe spear.
Well, how do we get our human rights back?
That is the question of the night.
The right to seek shelter and seek food. It's a human rights thing. It's worldwide.
That's right.
It's not even federal. It's in the Constitution. Seek shelter. It's not to search. It's to seek it. I know where it's at.
Seek and ye shall get kicked out.
Get arrested.
Possibly arrested.
You seek food, you seek shelter, you go straight to jail. Now you got no credit. You're now a criminal and you've got no credit. You get all kinds of money, nobody's going to rent to you. You're done.
We've been hearing the complaints of...
Not complaints, just explaining.
And the thoughts of...
Of the patriot, of Antonio Mendoza.
Thank you, Antonio.
Thank you.
Talking with... Anonymous. And you were on the levee, you say?
I was on this side of the levee,
mm-hmm.
Near the Ross parking lot.
Okay.
Just a little bit down from the Ross parking lot, which is also where Cost Plus is and all. Mm-hmm. And I was looking, because I've walked on the river levee for years and years.
Right.
On the opposite bank of the levee, I saw that this all-terrain vehicle looking a lot like a Jeep, you know, the all-terrain vehicle with at least four people in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were checking out people who were camped along the levee, and they're making their way up to an encampment.
By checking out, you mean watching, or do you mean actually making contact?
Making contact. I saw them do that at least two times, maybe three.
Right.
The third time was on the far on the other side of the levee from where I was standing,
mm-hmm.
And they approached an encampment with several people in it, and they were, I don't know, I didn't hang around to see what they were doing, but they were definitely speaking to some people in there.
And you were wondering what that was about.
Yes, I wondered if they've been doing it all winter or if this was a new thing.
Well, I've continued to hear of Parks and Rec rangers and police seizing people's property, taking their tents, telling them to move, giving tickets even. And it's not clear if it is as prominent as it was a couple years ago because of the Boise versus Martin decision, perhaps. You know.
The two other incidents I'm aware of, one that I just heard about, I didn't witness, is that they, the police and rangers have gotten to know a local mentally ill person quite well who's only around town sometimes. And what a friend of mine approached me one morning and told me that she had seen him get a ticket the day before for sitting against a building. And it was probably on Pacific Avenue or a street nearby, one of the public streets, you know, really, you know, downtown streets, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, that is, of course, one of the downtown ordinances. You can't sit within 14 feet of a building on the sidewalk, any building, ever, and all the side streets as well. I think from Cathcart all the way down to the town clock. And that's, I guess they may regard that as a separate ordinance from the sleeping ban, which is the camping ordinance, which they claim they're not enforcing, but they haven't said they aren't enforcing the downtown ordinances.
The third time that I witnessed, that I didn't just, I mean, it's not something I just heard, I was there, they're waking up people in doorways again along Front Street. I saw a guy getting rousted from the sushi place, or sushi in Malabar, that doorway. And he was yelling by then, and two policemen who arrived in a car, they made a loop and came back.
What time of day was it?
It was morning, this morning, probably right around 9 o'clock.
He was all laid out with blankets, or he's just lying there himself?
When I saw him, he was standing up. He was yelling about getting awakened. And I think there was a second person there, too, but I saw one person standing. He was already talking to the police.
And did you linger at all to hear the conversation?
No, I was on the opposite side of the street, and I didn't stay. I was getting ready to go away with my car.
Yeah, I mean, I suspect that's, you know, police will do that without giving citations, partially because it doesn't produce a paper record, I would say, and partially because their main objective is to drive people away. They probably would prefer not to have the paperwork. This would be a guess. Again, I don't know what, you know, would depend on the individual officer and the situation. The main objective is to have people essentially respond meekly and obediently to their authority, regardless of what it is.
I mean, we've been around town, both my friend and myself, we've been around town so long, especially in recent years, I've just seen waves of, well, they'll pick up their activity, everything will be okay for a little while, they won't be doing it, and then they will. Rangers and cops.
Yeah.
We've seen it over and over and over, and it's partly what's going on in town, under pressure from some people, I suppose.
It's it would be interesting to find the paper trail or to find out who's giving the orders in each of those cases, get some idea. I mean, I suspect it certainly comes with the knowledge of the city manager, whether he's actually initiating it or whether Mills, the police chief, is initiating it. Hard to say.
On a little bit different track, at night, when people are downtown, the rookie, what my friend calls rookie cops, will come in and talk to everybody and tell them they can't be leaning against a building, they can't be standing by a window playing music, they have to get away. And it's true, there usually are no trespassing signs there. And this might be minutes after Chief Mills walks down and says, oh, hi, everybody, here's a tip.
Good cop, bad cop.
Yeah. Yes, and so my friend calls them new cops or rookie cops, the people that come down and just
testing their authority.
Order out.
They're learning how to, you know, order people around in unreasonable ways, because that's what police essentially do when they're ordering people to obey unreasonable laws that are class-based. And in order to do that, you have to essentially abandon your normal sensibilities, because you wouldn't walk up to somebody and do that. But if you're in the police force, you're supposed to be able to do that at a snap of the fingers. And people are supposed to respond at a snap of the fingers. And, of course, ordinary people who are cognizant of their civil rights often won't respond. They'll say, you know, thank you very much, appreciate your thoughts, go bother somebody else. You know, or write me a ticket if you're really so impressed. But that requires standing up to a thug with a gun, a taser, and other implements of war, and that's kind of, you know, scary. So. Well funded by our city council, I might add.
It gets thicker and thicker.
Indeed, and sicker and sicker as well. And I think we'll be hearing a little more from the city council scene, or I should say outside the city council chambers. But this is an update I just received by phone. I just got an incoming call from Scope It Out Scott Graham, who lives near the Washington Street encampment, which is right on the edge of the Loudon Nelson Park area. And the report was that this four-month-long encampment, which has been recently getting increased harassment from the police in the wee hours of the morning, has been completely swept away. And on the phone with me right now, I have activist and Food Not Bombs food provider Keith McHenry. Hi, Keith.
Hi, yeah. So, yeah, today I was walking past Trader Joe's, and Robin, who eats with us, who was at the senior meal, said that this huge, he goes, this is intense. A huge number of cops showed up outside on Washington Street and arrested one woman, and he goes, I think you know who she is. And I go, oh yeah, that's Cooper. He goes, yeah, Cooper. And they took all of her stuff. And then a few minutes later, I run into Russell, who's like, oh my god, they just arrested Cooper, and she's still not out yet. And they had gone over to the jail to see if she was going to get out. They haven't even started processing her.
And Russell is of course Cooper's partner.
Yeah, Cooper's partner, and they lost everything, and he was so mad. He's like, we lost everything. And they were having stuff taken by the cops before. There would have been like a kind of a month period here where they hadn't been taking their stuff, maybe a little less than that, maybe 3 weeks. But they were coming, like you say, Russell said, they were coming every night recently at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and giving them tickets for blocking the sidewalk. And so that's pretty, you know, that's really demented. So they're very upset, and they want to, you know, and Russell wants to, you know, say, we got to sue them. And I'm going to sue them for $100 million. You know, this is just outrageous. So he was very angry about this. And you think, you know, it's kind of sad because they have been getting jacked up. And, you know, but I'm glad they're not acclimating to the repression. That, I think, is really important.
Now, I know that I talked to Alicia Cool, as did you, the president of the California Homeless Union, a few minutes ago. And she was very upset, wondering where the police and rangers or whoever is doing this. And, of course, neither of us were there, so we don't really know who exactly. I guess it was the police, according to your secondhand report.
And there are rangers and police, according to Robin.
Any indication of the numbers of thugs involved in this?
They said, Robin said a lot. And we were shocked at the amount of people, that cops and rangers were there. I don't know how to gauge that, you know, but...
I got you. Now, do we have any idea where their property is being taken, if it's being thrown away, if it's being stashed behind the, you know, the police department or Parks and Rec? What's the story?
Well, Russell felt like that it was just, you know, some cop gave Russell the case number, and he's, like, so fed up with going down the street and waiting to get property that he never gets. I don't think he's even going to try to do that. It just ends up being cheaper and easier to go buy all new stuff. I mean, that's horrible, but that's the case.
It funds the local businesses, Scott. Now look at it that way.
Yeah. It's really, you know, the sad thing is, I mean, fortunately, they're, like, well-respected members of the community, and they're not going to rob places and stuff like that. But I think a lot of people would just be like, the hell with that, I'm going to shoplift. The cops are going to keep taking my stuff. And so, you know, that's not going to be the case with Russell in Cooper, but they're kind of asking for increased, you know, shoplifting and stuff. You know, because you take everybody's stuff, medicine, all of that. So, you know, and then it's kind of, you know, when you see that in contrast to these proposals for, you know, camping from tent, you know, either creating like some kind of zones where you could be have a tent but have to take it down at 7 and you maybe put it up at 10 and all these kind of like efforts to work around the basic ideology of Martin versus Boise from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals case that these that the Supreme Court refused to hear, which was maybe good, maybe bad. That case is around cruel and unusual punishment, and you can't be harassing people if you aren't providing shelter for everybody. And they're certainly not providing shelter for probably at least 800 people in town. And now they're going to try to come up with this whole concoction of crazy laws, like declaring Pacific Avenue a park and, you know, stronger trespassing laws. And
well, I'm going to actually be playing segments of your forum that you and Alicia and others, myself included, were holding yesterday at the Resource Center, and that will also be holding next Wednesday and the Wednesday after that until, of course, you fly away to Guatemala and disappear for a month.
Yeah. Oh, did we get Carol's agreed yet to come down?
Carol Denny, who, you know, I interviewed for this show before, did at one point an email say she would be coming, but I haven't yet been able to. I sent her emails today and left her phone messages. We'll see what she says about coming in. It may have to do with her transportation, whether she can get down here. You know, she's not the wealthiest woman in the world and
correct,
doesn't have a lot of loose cash hanging around. So, you know.
Yeah, so that's really important that people come out to the Wednesday 4 o'clock at the Resource Center for Nonviolence.
4:30, yeah.
4:30, rather.
Unless you're extending the time, that's possible.
No, 4:30. I have to be there at 4, but everybody else come at 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's really important. We've really got to start organizing seriously about resisting these kinds of things.
Do you know if Russell or Cooper tried today on Thursday, because this is one of the 2 days of the week you can supposedly get your property back if it's not being held for investigation or something of that effect?
Yeah, well, I think the thing was that, you know, Russell went to the police station, went to the jail instead of going to, because the arrest is right around the same time as the windows open for, you know, the gates open for property on, you know, which is actually only a block away from where Cooper was arrested. But, really the next time is Tuesday.
So it really it means they don't have protective gear over the weekend.
Yeah, they have nothing for tonight.
Mm-hmm. You know? Or the next night, or the next night, or the next night, or the next night.
And that's if they can even get anything on. You know, Russell was like so angry. He says like every time I go there, at the point in time at my stuff, as they tell me, they can never find it. So you know, you have people wait there. You know, I've gone there with people and you wait for like, you know, an hour. Eventually, somebody opens the door to the parking lot behind the police station, and then they ask you to describe what it is. And of course, it's a tent. And of course, everybody's got a tent. And then you have a receipt and all this kind of nonsense. And on occasion, they will actually bring things up to let you look at it. And so you could actually technically say, "Oh, yeah, that's mine," and walk away with something that's not even yours. There's no plan or organization. There's no tagging the property with a person's name or something like that. You know, it's just.
And they won't be able to get it anyway before next Tuesday morning. So.
Yeah, and some people just don't even.
So that's Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night.
Yeah.
That they will have no survival gear.
No way they're going to do that. They're going to try to go around talking to friends, getting money. Big Five or some place, probably Camping World or whatever that place is, and buying another tent and another bunch of sleeping bags and more, you know, ID, you know, having to go get, run around if they need medicine and get, like, a prescription refilled again.
Yeah, or shoplift, as you were saying earlier.
Yeah, so it's like, and Cooper's not the only one, you know, just that she's a very close friend, and it's shocking because there's so many cops.
Well, I think it's part of it's part of this massive police intervention where they use extraordinary number of police officers for small incidents. Now, admittedly, they're dealing with 5 or 6 or 7 people. You know, and so they can always proclaim they're afraid of a mass riot. You know, they might that these heavily armed officers are going to be assaulted by these essentially relatively bedraggled homeless folks who are just trying to survive on the sidewalk. But, you know, in fact, they do use this massive overreaction response to even such a minor thing as one person being accused of shoplifting. I saw this happen to myself and talked about it on the air about 2 or 3 months ago in front of Ross.
I think in a certain sense, like particularly with people living on the streets, and then, you know, Mills is like, well, we, you know, no one pays their tickets, and, you know, and then half the people that are arrested have either Coral Street address of the, you know, Housing Matters building or don't have an address at all and all this stuff. Well, of course, they're spending huge amount of, and they say they spent that 2017 city council report that they spent $11 million in police assets and time, you know, harassing people living outside. And so, and maybe the part of the overkill is that they know that if they're being jacked up for nothing, just because of their economic condition, they would be pissed off. And if there's a group of people, you know, and it's kind of surprising there isn't actually pushback, but of course it's not going to be pushback. These people are armed, And the people living on the streets have to live on the streets.
And then there are those who are counseling nonviolence instead of arm yourself and defend yourself against the police, as, for example, I don't know, Black Panthers, Deacons for Defense, and other groups have actually... Black Panthers not so successfully, but Deacons for Defense.
Not so successful.
But Deacons for Defense was successful in fending off the Klan back in, you know. Of course, they had houses that they were defending. It's a little different when you're outside, for sure.
But I don't think that like 10 people living in tents at the lot outside of lot Nelson can successfully defend themselves.
Yeah. It would be hard. I understand.
I wouldn't want to do it, man.
I'm gonna leave it there, Keith, unless you have any announcements about upcoming events over the next few days.
No, that's, other than the Food Not Bombs meal Saturday and Sunday, the union meeting at 5 o'clock at the Food Not Bombs meal.
On Sunday.
Downtown Post Office on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. And the meals, of course, are at 4 to 6 Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, so there's that, and... and then we're getting ready. We're looking for support around a couple of other things, like the Wednesday 4:30 meeting to plan resistance to the anti-homeless campaign that's happening, both nationally and statewide and citywide.
Any word from our dear friends, Anthony, the Attorney Prince?
I haven't heard from him in a while. No.
Yeah, okay. Or from Abby Samuels and Peter Gelblum and the ACLU and the possibility of the National Law Center's intervening in a legal case?
I don't know about that.
I don't either. All right, well,
at Cash, he puts up this slide saying that, well, we have to be worried about the Americans with this, or the, you know, these three people, groups that, like, that send in letters, ACLU and National Center on Homelessness and Poverty and the Disability Rights legal team. And then I'm like, but you're missing that, like, homeless people are going to sue you, too. What are you talking about?
That would be nice.
I'm like the union of the homeless.
I will await that lawsuit, and I will talk to you again. And if you hear more about what's going on with Cooper and Russell or elsewhere in the city, give me a call.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, man. And that includes anyone listening to this netcast. The phone number here is 423-4833. Let me know. And there's not much I can do but essentially publicize it, but I will try to do that.
The tweet goes on. The tweet goes on.
Keep on searching for a brain. Maybe over here, maybe over there.
Healthcare was once the rage on.
History has turned the page on.
Junk food is the current thing.
Moscow Mitch, the newborn king.
And the tweet goes on. The tweet goes on.
Doctors keep on searching for a brain. Couldn't find it here, couldn't find it there.
Apprentice is now Fox and Friends,
Presidents now use the pens,
The White House wants a war, but let's keep calm. Tree goes on.
Doctors keep on searching for a brain. Maybe over here.
deficit's increasing all the time.
Trump now wants his image on the dime.
And the truth goes on. And the truth goes on.
Doctors keep on searching for a brain. Couldn't find it here. Couldn't find it there.
The tweet goes on.
Yes, the tweet goes on.
Yes, the tweet goes on.
Yes, the tweet goes on. And the tweet goes on.
And it kind of sounded like that song needed a brain as well. That was the Parody Project. Not up to their usual standards. And my dissatisfaction will lead me to play this next one called Stand By Your Man, also by the Parody Project, I think. Let's give it a listen and maybe it'll reach my high standards.
These days it's hard to be Republican. Giving your support to just one man. Even when it's hard to understand, and if you cross him, oh, watch out for him, 'cause he'll attack you just because he can.
Stand With Your Man by, actually it's called The Freedom Toast. So maybe Don Caron was not a part of that. Maybe it wasn't the Parody Project, which I thought it was. Of course, the problem with this kind of song is it's simply anti-Trump and doesn't really go to the issues. And so the Trump supporters who need to be essentially, I don't know if you would say educated or offered a real alternative to Trump, not just some Democratic Party hack who's going to do the Wall Street mambo and continue the war machine stuff. And instead you get con men like Trump who understand this and talk about getting out of the foreign entanglements, but of course they get deeper instead. And you're stuck between the rock and the hard place because, you know, calling someone Mitch McConnell, that's the Republican, implying that he somehow is, you know, in the grip of Moscow, is part of the Democratic Party's, of course, attempt to cover up its own incompetence and corruption in the 2016 election, when essentially it lost because it sabotaged Bernie Sanders, who I haven't got a hell of a lot of positive things to say about either. And I could actually talk about that and probably will on Sunday in more detail about why Sanders has to be really viewed very, very carefully. And those who support him as some sort of alternative don't realize, or I don't know, they hold their nose and realize, but hold their nose anyway, that he'll support the next Democratic Party hack that comes along. That's, you know, it'll preserve his seat in the Senate and it'll preserve his power in the party and all that sort of thing. What I'm going to play now is a selection from the, I guess it's the presentation, that's the best way of putting it, that Drew Glover and Chris Krohn held last night in the Loudon Nelson Center, essentially to discuss issues arising from the recall and just general questions that they let the public fire at them. Again, this is only a segment, and you will be able to hear the whole thing if you go to the HuffSantaCruz.org website. That's H-U-F-F Santa Cruz, all one word, all small letters, HuffSantaCruz.org. And then look for latest and lost and latest shows, or perhaps it's latest and lost shows, but you'll be able to recognize it by those words. And then you'll see it listed as soon as, well, probably sometime this evening, Thursday evening, if you're listening to this on January 30th. But let's listen to a little of this now, and it'll also probably be playing more of it on Sunday as well. It ends with an interview with entertainer and community activist Tom Noddy, who is also better known as the Bubble Man. If you've been around for Santa Cruz a while, you'll know him, or actually he's internationally famous, but he came to this, and I began talking to him right before Drew and Chris came on.
The audience is assembling, and it looks like it's about two-thirds full, this large meeting room in the Loudon Nelson or London Nelson Center. We have 10, 20, 30, 40, maybe 50 people in the room, mostly folks, looks like, who are graying. A sprinkling of younger people, maybe a little more than half a dozen, maybe 10.
And the number of people increased as the evening went on, so eventually all the chairs were filled and went out, increased to about, I think, 80 to 100 people were in the room at its height.
And the looks like that's Tom Noddy over there. That's what I need to recognize.
Oh, are you recording?
I am.
Yes.
What is your name again?
Tom Noddy.
Tom, you are, of course, the infamous Bubble Man, but you're also a member of the community who's here probably for a different reason than to entertain.
Oh, I'm not going to be very entertaining. That's right.
What do you intend to do here, sir?
Listen, I just want to see who's here, who the faces are. I get some emails sometimes, and I know some of the people by their, I don't know, their ideology or their writing. And I thought I'd come here and see what they look like and pick up a yard sign.
So you've been a resident of Santa Cruz since the 70s, mostly.
No, entirely. Yeah.
Entirely. You never left Santa Cruz?
No, I never left. I mean, well, there were times when I was overseas for 5-6 months at a time, but my only home was here in Santa Cruz.
So I just came from a series of meetings around homeless civil rights issues, and you yourself have been, well, you've lived in your van for a time and when you were younger and part of the traveling puppets, and how have things changed since the 70s? Have you seen much in the way of changes?
We're talking about changes in Santa Cruz with housing, is that what you mean?
With housing and how people who are poor are treated.
Yeah, well, you know, no, we were never welcomed with open arms in Santa Cruz. While they prided themselves on being a progressive, they said, but in truth, it was like one of the last in the area to open a homeless shelter. Half Moon Bay had homeless shelters before we did. San Jose had homeless shelters before. They were resisting the whole idea that because they always had this this idea that somehow people came here because of how welcome they were. So they consciously tried to take away the welcome mat and treated people less than welcoming.
Which is part of the shtick the business community gave you in 1980 when they wanted to criminalize performing.
That's right. Well, the business community actually ended up on our side in terms of criminalizing it, but they did want to over-regulate it.
There was a mythology about that. About this being the promised land for...
Yeah, that's right.
For hippies. And we've been talking with...
Tom Noddy. Next time.
We want to get a lot done tonight.
Sheila Carrillo. I'm one of the people on the steering, the Stop the Recall steering committee. I was one of the people that organized this evening, and to be honest with you, at, 5 minutes to seven, when there were like three people here, I start to get very agitated. So thank you for being here and making this happen, because a town hall can only be a town hall if there are two sides to the coin. So I want to ask you, I guess, I'm curious to know what brings you here. I know some of you, so I'm just kind of going to ask you to pop a hand up if it applies to you. How many of you are here because you want to ask a question of Chris and Drew? How many of you are here because you've been confused about what's going on politically in the city?
About six hands went up.
How many of you are here because you're concerned about something?
Yeah, I got about twice as many hands for that one.
Great. So I'm going to ask you to just take a minute, formulate one sentence in your mind, and turn to somebody who you don't know or know barely, and just say one sentence about what brought you here, and then we'll get started with the evening. I'll introduce you to our moderator. One sentence to somebody. Find somebody.
Into my mic here. Why are you here, sir?
Why am I here? Because Thomas Jefferson once said, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance.
And he also said, the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants.
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
I have this extreme dislike for corruption in all forms, and people that are devious and lying, and that seems to fit
our politicians.
Not our politicians, but the representatives of the developers and the money interests in Santa Cruz.
So thank you.
I'm going to introduce you to the evening. She is working with a group that's a relatively new group called Tenant Sanctuary. I believe that it was recently funded through a vote of the City Council, is that correct? And it was something that I know Chris and Drew supported strongly. She works counseling tenants. I've actually been in the presence, in the room where she has been doing that, and it's just an amazing, wonderful service to counsel people who are suffering from the difficulty in getting and keeping housing here. This is Jessica Chulidian Ingersoll.
Hey, Jessica.
Hello, beautiful crowd. My name is Jessica. I will be your moderator tonight, and my main job tonight is to make sure that you all feel seen by the council members, and that as many of you get to ask your questions as possible. To make my job a little easier, I'm just going to ask that if you have a question, we're going to be doing three questions at a time, so you all can walk down this hallway, and three of you will ask a question. So Chris and Drew, our council members, can answer them. And we found that this process actually speeds things up. So when they're done answering, we'll take the next three, and so on and so on. If you have a comment, just raise your hand. I will come directly to you and try to answer any question that you might have outside of this space. With no further ado, I'm going to be introducing, first and foremost, Councilmember Drew Glover, who's going to be giving an opening statement.
Hey, Drew!
I think this is my mic. Okay, wonderful.
This guy preaches to the choir, really.
Pretty much.
So what he just said is preaching to the choir, which, for some people, that's true, but there are many faces in here that I've never seen before, which is really wonderful to get a chance to come and talk to you. My name is Councilmember Drew Glover. Thank you, Jessica. I'm a council member here in Santa Cruz. I was born and raised here. I was raised by a single mom, and I've been fighting, even before I got into office, but especially since I've been in office, to make sure there's representation in Santa Cruz and that we're addressing issues that disproportionately impact different communities. So that looks like addressing issues that focus around people experiencing homelessness, or people that are people of color, or people that have different levels of disability, or people from different socioeconomic levels. And I think that's one of the big issues that we have here in Santa Cruz, is there's such a wide gap in wealth, in the haves and the have-nots. I think that's something that we need to be talking about continuously around the topic of poverty and the topic of the ability of people like myself who were born here that have almost no possibility of staying here unless there is a perfect equation that allows us to be able to survive. I myself, a renter, have had to move three or four times in the last like 2 years, which has been compounded by houses that have been put up for sale by landlords and asked to move, to almost having to move into a van at the end, towards the third quarter of last year. But luckily, someone stepped in and allowed me to move into their house. And this is because I have a fixed income, a very limited income, because I work in the nonprofit sector, and the other half of my time essentially is focused around city politics. Neither pay what I would consider a living wage here in Santa Cruz, especially with regards to the cost of housing and just the cost of living in general. There has been a lot of stuff going on, especially since I got into office, even before I got into office, with the rumblings of a recall and to remove me from my seat. These conversations started as early as November of last year, November of 2018, right before, up to, and then right immediately following the election. Now, they had to wait 6 months before they could do that according to the rules of recall. And so that's why when we saw in the beginning of June of 2019, the language coming in the initial start of the signature gathering period. And we'll talk a lot, I'm sure, hopefully about important issues in the community, but also about the situation surrounding the recall, because I think it's important for us to understand the influence and what's pushing maybe not the average person that thinks that they're in support of it because of what they've heard or what they've read or whatever has been told to them, but at the core of the movement of the recall and what is actually pushing that ideology of creating a city that does not work for everyone. It only works for people that can afford to live here, and that anything that even resembles protections of classes of people that are not as affluent as those other ones should be moved along to somewhere else. We're seeing that in the development history of the community, where we have had incredibly low numbers of affordable units being developed. I mean, all we have to do is look at that place at the end of Pacific by Lulu Carpenters that has zero affordable units in it, and ask ourselves, how was that project approved, and what influence did the council have on that? And then we can look at some of the things that we've been able to accomplish since I and the progressive majority have been in office. We've been able to secure one of the highest raises for SEIU workers in a very long time. Those are the frontline workers that work for the city. The SEIU 521, because there's this myth out there that that the city employees don't like me, for whatever reason. Now, SEIU 521, that represents the city workers, has come out against the recall. I think that that's something that's notable and that people should be talking about. The Monterey Bay Central Labor Council has come out against the recall. There are a litany of different groups that have stood up and said, look, the work that these people are doing while they're in office are helping low and middle income people in our community. We were able to increase the required amount of affordable housing that goes into new developments to 20%, something that's been talked about for years in Santa Cruz, but has never been able to be accomplished until we had a progressive majority to be able to push that forward. And there are a variety, I don't want to take all of them, because I'm sure Councilman Crona want to talk about some of the things that we've achieved, but it's important to realize that we're in a pivotal moment in Santa Cruz politics, in Santa Cruz history in general. And that's not because I am where I am or who I am, but because of what the progressive majority and what the city council right now represents. It represents a redirection of the city and of the policies that have governed the city for the last generation. It represents a voice to people that have been traditionally left out of the conversation and out of the decision-making process, and it represents accountability for people that are profiteering or making massive amounts of profit off of our community and figuring out ways to A, hold them accountable for the impact they have by generating that profit, and B, making sure that they're giving back so that we can make sure that we can expand our social services and expand our development of affordable and truly affordable housing in the city. Now, we may differ on policy. Maybe we differ on ideology. And I acknowledge that, and that's totally okay, but that's politics. And that's why we have elections. Because if people don't agree with my policies after I finish my term, then you can vote me out of office. But to have a recall campaign that to this point has raised and or spent upwards of $100,000, if not more, and spent tremendous amounts of money on paying people to get signatures while in the same breath claiming that they're grassroots and volunteer run, should be incredibly concerning to all of us in this room, no matter where our ideology falls. Because as soon as we open the door for big money to come in and influence our democratic process here in Santa Cruz, then we lose control of our city. And I think that should be something that is at the forefront of all of our minds as we move through this conversation, but especially as we move into the election period, starting on February 3rd, I believe, but especially on March 3rd when you go to the polls. So thank you for coming tonight, and I really look forward to all of your questions.
Thank you, Drew. And now I'm going to introduce Councilmember Chris Crone.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
I was on my way here just a little while ago and thought about, keep asking me, what does it feel like to be part of this recall? There's a lot of sympathy and empathy. I've never had so many people come up to me and talk to me who I don't know. And I was thinking, I'm dating myself here, but Brother, Son, Sister Moon, have you ever seen that movie? Anybody?
Yeah.
At the beginning of the movie, St. Francis of Assisi, he wants to leave his town, he wants to build his church, and he disrobes, carries his clothes, and he walks out through the middle of downtown of Assisi, or wherever he was, a little town in Europe. And he just walks out, and people are like, oh my God, but he's got, you know, that's sometimes how it feels to be part of this recall process. And it's not the emperor, don't get mixed up with the emperor who thinks he's wearing clothes. This is like, you feel somewhat naked a lot of times because of what people say about you and who don't know you. I want to sketch out a little bit of how we got here, where we're at, and what might happen if this recall prevails. Drew Glover is an amazing speaker. Can you give him another hand?
I'm just always amazed
by what he does. You know, I got notes. He's on fire all the time, and that's why I want to keep him on the city council. Is Santa Cruz for sale? And that's a serious question that I have.
Yeah.
There's projects proposed that one that Drew just mentioned, and it's built 79 condominiums on the other north end of Pacific Avenue, not one affordable unit. We have another one, 205 units, that's been permitted and everything by the city council along Pacific Avenue, 205 units, not one affordable housing, not one affordable rental unit. That's 300, almost 300 units that were approved before the council, the current council got to be the majority. So along comes this new council majority, and we put in a 20% affordable ordinance. Never happened before in Santa Cruz. We had 15% for a while. Previous councils always going about 10. They had it down to 5% they were asking from developers, and most of the time they let them pay what's called in-lieu fees and buy their way out of affordability. The 20%, then we got 10 units out of And the Dream Inn project, it was across the street from the Dream Inn, 190 West Cliff. It's a big, huge 89 condominium luxury, real luxury. It's going way up, and people on the top are going to have like penthouses. There's 10 very low affordables in that particular project. We should have gotten a lot more, 18, and we could have if we would have pressed them on it. So then you go and you look at the corridor plan, which was a developer-centric plan, okay? So you have these three things that are going on, and we're setting it up for, you know, why people might be coming after us.
Yeah.
My point here is that powerful interests in this region are here right now. Anybody know about the Hilltop Apartments? Anybody remember that deal? Hilltop Apartments over on Western Drive. It sold for $35 million. And guess who bought it? Goldman Sachs.
Wow.
Those people are here right now because Santa Cruz is for sale. The recall has a lot more to do with the developers and the real estate folks carving up this town than any alleged cough or burp or smirk on my part. Yes, there have been disagreements. Has the council been stressed out lately? Yes. But the disagreements are political ones, as Councilmember Glover mentioned. There are disagreements, and I think that's healthy in democracy.
Yeah.
We've actually been offered conflict resolution, and I've taken them up on three. I did it with Martine Watkins, I did it with Justin Cummings, and I did it with Martine Bernal, the city manager. We sat down and talked. There's a new mayor right now, and I feel like there's a different atmosphere at City Hall and at council meetings. And I hope that's going to seep out, and the people in the community are going to start feeling that, because there was some rocky slopes, rough road there for a while. But I want to be frank with you. Tonight, I'm here to say that I'm very sad that all the stuff that's being proposed and built in Santa Cruz has very little affordability and is not really for people who live here. They're building it for people who are either commuting over the hill, or they're Silicon Valley investors, or they're those weekend warriors who come over and either have a vacation home here or do a vacation rental. Mm-hmm. If you look at the 405 units, does anybody know there's 405 condominiums planned for Ocean Street between Water and Marianne's Ice Cream? A San Jose developer has now accumulated 19 parcels there, and they're going forward with that. And guess what? If you look at his presentation, all of the driveways are going right, and that leads to Highway 17. He knows what his market is, and guess where he's going to advertise them? He's going to advertise them over the hill. So this recall, look at the macro level. You have the city of Santa Cruz being really swept up in a well-funded developer-backed campaign to remove elected leaders. It's not just Santa Cruz. It's Colorado, it's Oregon, it's Chico. It's happening, and this is, you know, a lot of folks, Republicans, don't like the outcomes of elections. Don't believe me, Google it. There's a bunch of articles about this. They don't like the outcome of elections, and they want to redo the election. Why? Because we generally want neighborhood input, and that's not exactly what developers want. I'm on the council. I ran for council because I want to fight for low-income housing. I want to preserve neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And that corridor plan was going to tear apart neighborhoods and didn't ask for neighborhood input.
That's right.
I want to preserve democratic institutions. That's really what we're about. The city council is the appropriate place to debate land use decisions. Mm-hmm. And I just want to give you what I think is a happy, wherever you come down on this issue, there's a neighbors on the west side, Circle Church area. They were trying really hard for a while to get something on the historic preservation because they thought that Circle Church, that's been an institution for 130 years, should be looked at as a historical relic or preserve it. But they couldn't get an audience with the historic preservation commission. The city council has to put it on historic preservation. So they came to us several times, and just recently we put it on the historic preservation commission, and it's going to be heard. They're going to get their audience tomorrow night at 7 o'clock in the council chambers. I mean, I think this council really believes and cares about neighbors. And
I interrupted this. You can hear me whispering because the neighbors at the circle were also interested in excluding homeless people and their vehicles from both the church and from the parking areas around the church. And they helped to close down the Sunrise Cafe that was opened by Stephen DeFields Gambrie. I'm not quite sure of his name, proper pronunciation, but the prior pastor of that church, who in essence was driven out of town by the kind of take back Santa Cruz mentality of those wonderful Arrett Circle neighbors. So one has to really, much as one might support maintaining Crone and Glover as the lesser evils on this city council, as which they are, certainly lesser than the other folks on the council, you have to also be aware of what evils they tend to shield. And one of the problems with this entire approach that Glover and Crone are taking is they're claiming that things are all well. There's a new spirit at city council. We're working at getting reconciliation, and we're going hand in hand and singing Kumbaya with our opponents there. But of course, the opponents aren't doing that at all. And unless the community understands exactly the kind of sabotaging that has been happening at city council and the fundamental opposition of interest that's really happening, the war on the poor, the war on the working class that's taking place there, the notion that this somehow can be reconciled by just some good talk and some mediation is, I think, both unrealistic and also it's a futile strategy, and it's kind of gutless as well. It plays to the middle class attempt to pander to the same kind of the claims that Glover and Crone are uncivil because that what they do and what they say reveals the discrimination and bigotry of the Watkins minority and the Martine Bernal powerful city staff behind them. You got to come out and say it, and you got to say it strong and loudly. Now, you hear, you know, some strong statements by Chris Crone here on the issue of low-income housing, or actually it's so-called affordable housing, which isn't really affordable to many people. And that's, I think, a step forward. It's good that he's raising these issues, but you have to also do it, I think, in the context of what the council, how the council is treating the public, how the council is treating the homeless and the poor. And a little of that's going to come out in Councilmember Glover's comments later in this two-hour-long presentation, or an hour and a half or thereabouts, which you'll be able to hear if you want to go to Lost and Latest Shows on the HuffSantaCruz.org website, or next Sunday when the rest of this is going to be played. I'll play a little more, but then I'm going to have to sign off because my time is just about up.
About neighborhood integrity. The council has passed a bunch of things that a lot of times doesn't get much press. Councilmember Glover mentioned the 20% affordable. We also created space for 13 doctors of Kaiser to move in downtown at the Cooper House. So folks who drive out to Scotts Valley now and to see their doctor, hopefully there's going to be a pharmacy and 13 doctor's offices. We're also funding an urban tree study, a canopy study, because we know that trees are what, you know, if you're going to mitigate climate change, trees are the low-hanging fruit, and there's no pun intended there. Another big issue that Councilmember Glover raised was we set out, before we were elected, we said we're going to get folks a pay raise because the lowest paid workers in the city have not had a pay raise much in the last decade. And that happened. Of course, after we did it, all the other people came out, we want 10% too, we want 10% too. We tried to stake out turf and say, no, we can't give everybody 10%. We want to bring up the lowest paid workers. And we're still at it. We're still at that. And, you know, we talked about tenant legal services. We've had emergency shelter funding. We had free bus passes for all downtown workers are eligible now. All 4,000 are eligible. And many of them have taken us up on it. It's getting close to 1,000. What's at stake in this recall? What happens if Councilmember Glover and I are recalled? Well, if voters don't take a stand this March 3rd, the payoff for corporate real estate and developer interests is going to basically green light more high-density luxury development. Hopes for getting much affordable housing will be dashed. The original corridors plan will be back on the table. One, somebody running for city council right now, if we get recalled, you can vote for someone, another candidate, and he's already saying that yes, he wants to put the corridors plan back in place.
And that's Don Lane, right?
That is Don Lane, yes. UCSC will likely not be held accountable for producing student housing. Things are not well at UCSC. That's a whole nother 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Our main library will be moved into a behemoth six-story parking structure, and it's only going to displace our farmer's market, which I think that, you know, why would they want to do this? The people voted for a bond measure to remodel the library where it is. It's been there for over 100 years. The developers are working with real estate interests to get back the kind of city council they used to have. There's a lot to lose if this recall is successful. In the end, my bottom line, as long as I'm still on the city council, is Santa Cruz is not for sale, and I urge you to vote no on the recall.
We know darkness will descend, precisely as the signs portend. When all but 3% of scientists say we should have taken action yesterday. A collision of corporate greed against the earth, our social dirt, and it confounds the science. There's air pollution overload, and while solutions are within our sight, we're doing nothing to avoid the light. A catastrophe like we've never seen before stands at the door, and it confounds the science. Where once 10,000, now there's 3. They're disappearing at a rapid clip. I don't use honey, all the morons quit. We should remind ourselves that without bees there's no food, and we'll be screwed. The chemicals that we spray on our food, and other toxins that we gladly chew, the consequences of our choices we minimize, get supersized, and we can
that's the sequel to Confounds the Science, the first part of which I played a year or two ago. And that is Don Caron and the Parody Project. That's it for this edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Back again on Sunday at 9:30. Or if you can't catch it then, check out the Huff website. That's the Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom website at huffsantacruz.org. Under Lost and Latest Shows, where, as I said before, you can find the full version of a number of these forums that I played part of today and will be playing more of on Sunday. Thanks. If you want to reach me, you can call me at 831-423-4833.